Art Supply Posse. Today's guest, Anna, was part of episode 159, which was a conversation about the book The Artist Way. I'd like to actually record another episode about that book. So if you've read it and would like to join in another roundtable conversation talking about the book, get in touch. Hello, Anna. Welcome back to the Art Supply Posse.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, as always. So I'm really curious to know, things that I touched on it in the intro and, you know, we have spoken about it, what made you decide to pick up The Artist's Way and read it and follow through with it? Like, it is a, if listeners don't know the book, which is quite possible, basically it's like a workbook kind of thing. Like, it's getting you to look at your life and your experiences and challenge yourself to unlock or unblock yourself creatively. Not just for art as in like painting and drawing and things like that, but really anything creative at all it applies to. But I'm curious to know, Anna, why did you decide to get yourself a copy and work through the book?
Okay, that's a very loaded topic, let's say. Let's start with this particular book that I got last autumn. I picked it up because it was a very pretty edition. So that was the reason. I was browsing art books in the bookstore and I saw it and I already knew the book. And because it was so pretty, I just got it. But the first time I actually read or tried to read Artist's Way, it was almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think I got interested because I wanted to be more creative. So I thought, because I have a very technical background and now very technical job, and I never really liked it. And I always thought about myself as, well, this crazy creative person who wants adventures and even goes to another country because she wants adventures in a new life. It seemed kind of appropriate to develop my artistic parts as much as possible. And I like books and I like exercises and I like writing. So It was a no-brainer and it was a very popular book. Yeah. That was basically the motivation.
If we think about you, say, maybe 10 years ago, like before you picked up the book initially, were you doing anything creative, like whether that's writing or drawing or anything at all, or was it, or were you sort of like quite focused on your job and your work and your sort of that side of you, and not so much the artist? Like, where were you in terms of creativity before you first came to the book?
I was a lot more creative than now. I was actually a very creative child. I went to art school for children. I went to craft school. I did all kinds of projects. So whatever came my way, I was just playing, experimenting, having fun. Then even when I studied computer science and engineering, I still was creative. I still wanted to draw. I wanted to write. I had a blog ever since I was 14 years old. I made videos, collages, wrote stories. So basically whatever. Then something happened. I think when I got my first degree, and I was really burnt out and I really didn't want to do anything in tech. I didn't want to be a programmer. So I basically got a very boring job in accounting and tried to figure out how to live my life. And I went to Acquire, learned how to drum a little bit, how to dance. So all kinds of things like this and projects. And then I just decided, well, I'm going to have an adventure with my life. So I'm going to go abroad in any way possible, and I'm going to have fun there. And my life is going to be so interesting, and I'm going to tell about it in my blog. Maybe I will have a YouTube channel, and it's all going to be very, very interesting and great. The thing is, I only got accepted to a computer science degree, so I couldn't change to, let's say, media or game development or something more creative. So it was very hardcore computer science. Well, anyway, it was my only option, so I thought, okay, I'll move. I'll study that, and maybe I'll switch to some other field later. Well, that didn't go so well. The studies went okay. I finished the degree, but then I had to get a job so I could stay in the country. And the only job I could get was in web development. And then, you know, you need to work 8 hours a day, and then you need to build a career, and you need to change jobs, and you don't have any time to do creative stuff. So it was just going downhill and downhill from there. I kind of forgot how to create things and how to have fun, most importantly.
When we're younger, like when you were saying about, you know, my life is going to be this thing and these things are going to happen, we know the reality, like we have to earn an income so as we can, you know, make money and survive and all those sorts of things. But we don't realize how much that living, that life that we have to create, you know, whether it's a 9-to-5 job or whatever it is, can really impact on our ability to be creative in our free time, because it can be quite tiring. Like,
yes,
you know, depending on what your job is. Like for me, I work in retail, so I'm around people all the time, of course. And, you know, you've got to be on all the time in that kind of job, and it's quite tiring. And I'm sure probably, I'm guessing with the work you're doing, that's quite involved with the brain. Like, so you're always thinking and you're always switched on as well. So often, I don't know about you, but I find, you know, you get home from work and your heart might want to create something. Your heart might want to paint or draw, or even as you were saying, like dance or drama, things like that. But your brain is tired. It's been a big day.
Yes, your brain and your body. It was actually quite a shock when I got my first full-time job after university. I had no idea how tiring it is to have 8 hours work day when you actually need to use your brain for 8 hours straight. It's not like that in university at all. And I couldn't do anything after work.
No.
At all.
I don't think you really get prepared for that. Like, education can only go so far. It doesn't really properly prepare you for how draining it can be mentally to be switched on for 8 hours straight or whatever. Like, it's, and I think it's probably easy to then just, well, you need to chill out, you need to relax, you need to switch off, but suddenly you can turn around and goodness me, there goes a whole, you know, month where I haven't picked up a pencil and a notepad and drawn anything because you're just so tired.
Yeah. Also, I guess I was disappointed also with myself and putting a lot of pressure. So I was really trying to do my things after work, even when I had no strength. It's like web development job was kind of plan B. My plan A was to get a game development job. I was taking all related courses in university. I was trying to do my own projects. I was networking. And then I applied to every game development company around here. And I wasn't accepted anywhere. So, yeah. And then you get into this 9-to-5. I don't know how to call it. It's like a cage. It's like you go there and you come back. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's very like difficult to change.
Yeah. And it's like, it's almost like being, like, I think of it sometimes as like being a hamster in a hamster wheel. Like you just, you feel like you're just doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And even that can be quite draining.
Yeah. And also with my job, it's always... it's always difficult. You always don't know things. You need to figure it out. There is huge imposter syndrome. It's like, oh my God, I can't do this. They picked wrong person to do this job. And you're always waiting that, okay, I will get more experience and it will get easier. And years pass by and I realize that it never gets easier because the tasks become more challenging.
And I think if that's how you're feeling within your work, which is quite common for quite a lot of people, like to be feeling how you and I are expressing, the thing with that is, let's say it's the weekend, or let's say it's a Friday night and you're actually feeling really good and you're like, you know, okay, I want to create. And then you start to create, and then your creative brain does that thing that it quite often does where, you know, you'll begin and you'll be, you know, drawing or something and you're thinking, great, this feels fantastic. And then you get partway through and suddenly that critic inside is going, well, this is terrible. You're not making anything worthy. Why do you even bother? Like, you know, all those things that our internal thoughts can say. And then if you're already feeling like, you know, part of you is already struggling with the day-to-day of your job, and then the thing you want to do, the creative thing, the outlet, if you then have this inner voice telling you that, well, you're not doing it right, or you're doing it wrong, or it's a waste of time, it's very easy to just give up completely.
Exactly, because it's a painful process. And this is one of my main struggles. I can't draw and not hear that voice. It's always there. It's very loud. It's very critical. And I'm tense while I'm trying to create. Oftentimes, it's not enjoyable and it takes a longer time than I expect. And then I'm exhausted. And it's not like I'm relaxing after job. It's more like I put more strain on myself. So it's a problem, and that's why I'm trying to solve it with all kinds of books and trying to find some way out.
I find...
And the artist way is just one of them, yeah.
Yeah. I find for myself, I find I'm getting a lot better at ignoring that voice or actually not even hearing it. And to be honest with you, I'm not 100% certain why that has happened. I don't know if it's simply because I'm getting older and doing, you know, I've had a psychologist for I don't know how many years now, but a good one that I've been working with. I say that just because the first one I had, it wasn't quite working out, which happens. But we've been working not necessarily on this creativity side of things as such, but I think there must be something about working with him about everything else that must be slowly starting to kind of, you know, work subconsciously. But I am now finding myself in a place where a lot more often I can be creating without hearing that voice, that, you know, that internal thing. And I do wonder if part of it is Because if I stop and think about it, which I'm now doing now that I'm talking to you about this, Anna, I'm now sort of putting a little bit more thought into it. And I think it's probably that mostly happens when I'm doing something creative that I've done a lot of. So if I was to do a new thing, which I'm actually thinking about doing later today, I'm thinking about experimenting with using coffee as paint just for something different, because I thought it might be fun. I've always wanted to try it. I never have. So I thought, why not? And I bet you when I sit down to do that and start playing, the inner voice will tell me that this is not right and I'm doing it wrong and, you know, all of those things. But I think I'm also just getting better at ignoring, which honestly might just come with time. It might just come with practice. It might just come with ignoring it. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually asked my therapist about how do I make this voice disappear, and she told me you can't. You need to still do the thing that you want to do and ignore that voice. And another thing that you can do is to create a different voice that is actually supportive and listen to that.
That's a good idea.
I didn't have a lot of success with that, but I think it got better. And this thing that you said about how when you draw in a way that you are familiar with, it's easier and the voice doesn't really bother you. Yeah, I think this is exactly right. I don't have probably comfort zone because I haven't been doing art for a while. Or maybe because I'm doing so many different things over the years. It's like I never feel that I'm good at anything. So every time I try to create something, it's a creative struggle because I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I want to be good at.
You're going to have that struggle because you're trying to figure out something that you're not confident in. And that makes sense. Like, we can do anything. We can do anything. It doesn't matter whether it's creative or not, like you were saying about your job and having to figure things out. Like, so that inner voice is there too, but it doesn't mean – or it does mean much, a lot to you, but it doesn't mean quite as much because it's not the creative thing that you love. So it's probably like, well, okay, I'm just going to push through and work through and I'm getting paid for that, whereas, you know, our creativity, you and I, we're not getting paid for our creativity. We're doing it because we love it. But – it's therefore easier to listen to that voice maybe because, you know, you're not feeling quite as confident. Like, I'm sure if you and I sat here in 12 months' time and had the same conversation, if you were to have, you know, tried and stuck with a couple of different techniques or a couple of different mediums, I'm sure you would feel different, you know, in 12 months' time than you do now.
Yes, that's probably right. But would I stick with something? That's the question. I can't
yes, you will.
To stick with anything.
Yes, you will.
It's boring.
See, this is the thing. This is the interesting thing. I don't use one particular medium. I use several, and I find that helps me enormously because I'm the same. I get so bored with doing the same thing. Like, you know, I always say my favorite medium to work in is oil pastels, which is true, but I can't do them all the time. I'd get so bored. Oh my goodness. I would just like, no, it just wouldn't work. So I play with lots of different things. And I think maybe that's what is the key, is it keeps me interested, because if I'm not feeling like picking up my oil pastels, well, I don't. If I want to grab pencils, I do. Or, you know, lately I've been working with fabric a lot more. And I think that's probably why for me it works, because I can go with whatever my feeling is, as opposed to, well, I should be working in these pencils to get better at them. I just couldn't do that. I'd get too bored.
Yeah, I think experimentation is really important for an artist.
Yep.
That's
agreed.
Basically part of who we are.
Yeah, yeah, true. So if we think about, you know, you said roughly it was like 10 years ago when you first came across the artist way. What about it was it then, do you think, that it didn't work for you? Like, why could you not Well, you didn't finish the book, am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, I probably left it after 3 chapters or 4.
Yeah. And was it a time thing, or was it the content of the book, or what was it, do you think, just wasn't quite working?
I actually found my diary from that time. Like the paper notebook. And I went through it. And it was very interesting to compare the experience from 10 years ago and now.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very difficult time when I was still trying to figure out, am I going to stay on this program and study computer science? Am I going to drop out? Am I going to do something else? So I picked up the artist's way. And as I started working through, and actually took me more than a week to finish each chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe those 3 chapters actually took a couple of months. While I was doing it, I actually had a change of heart. I decided to stay in the computer science department, mostly because I fell in love. So there was a guy. And I wanted to see him, so I decided to stay. And then I found interesting courses on game development and computational creativity. All that thing sounded very exciting. Then I was part of a drama club. So there was a lot going on creatively, and I was drawing, I was making postcards, but like gift cards for birthdays. I was making videos for the drama club. And I even had started my YouTube channel. So I decided that I don't need this book anymore. I'm doing fine. And I actually was fine for quite a while. Yes. That's how it went the first time.
Mm-hmm. So this time is different because what week are you up to now? Or have you finished?
Actually started week 10.
Oh, wow. Awesome. So you're getting much closer to the end.
Yes.
So do you think this time part of it is because you're in a better place than you were 10 years ago? Like you had a lot going on 10 years ago in terms of deciding where you were, what you were going to do and where you were going to be and those sorts of things. Whereas now I'm going to guess you're in a more sort of stable and a more better situation?
I would actually say that it's the opposite. When I started it, I was more creative back then. I was more mm-hmm. free and I had more time and passion. Right now, my life might be better and easier and more stable, but I don't have that drive and fire inside of me. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I'm still sticking to this book is because I'm doing it with a friend. Otherwise, I would drop it.
Yeah. So do you feel yourself, when you do sit down and create, do you find yourself in love with the creation, as in the doing of the art, the making of the art? Like, if you don't compare yourself to 10 years ago, but except where you are now and play and explore. Because, you know, I've looked at your Instagram and I think there's some amazing work there. You know, I love what you're posting. So to me, I think you should keep going, because not just with the book but with going with art in general, because I think you are good, and I think, I you know, your art, what you're making is beautiful. But do you feel that when you're making it, or even when you're finished, or is the passion reignited at all?
I think at times I get this feeling that yes, I love what is happening here, but it's mostly, I don't know how to explain it. It's maybe like Julia Cameron writes that there is this force, this universe that is channeled through you, and you co-create together. So I get this feeling sometimes, like, especially when I paint, it's like there is the randomness, the will of the material itself, the medium, the canvas, the brushes. I don't control everything. So there is less pressure. There is less judgment. It's not all me. It's this thing that also creates the painting. And then if the flow is right, I feel the excitement and enjoyment, and I'm wondering what's the end result going to be. And usually the end result is very different from what I imagine, but also better in a way, because it exists, because it's real, I can see it, I can feel it, and somehow I am part of it. Like, I don't feel that I created it, but like it was created with my hands. But other times I paint or draw and it doesn't go well, and then I blame myself only. So when things don't work out, that's my fault. When they work out, that's like, okay, it just happened.
No, you did that. You've got to take ownership of what you're doing, I think, because, you know, we make good art and we make bad art. That's art. I'm reading a book at the moment called Art is Life, and the author's name escapes me completely, but he's actually an art critic, the man who wrote it, as opposed to an artist, although, you know, I think he uses words in a way that is, to me, artistic. But my goodness, he's talking about artists that are famous and, you know, well-known and earn lots and lots of money for their art. And being a critic, he's also quite honest, and he's saying where he thinks some of the art of these artists is not as good as their other works, and sometimes he's just downright awful. And I think that's okay. I think we need to make awful art as well as good art.
That's very difficult to accept.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Why can't I make it always good? Like, from the first try, each draft should be perfect. Each sketch should be so pretty that, like, you can put it on the wall. Why can't it be like this?
Well, because I don't think you learn if everything is perfect, if everything is straight away how it should be. I don't think you learn. Like, you know, I'm thinking about, particularly at the moment, I'm sort of in the middle of some photography projects I'm working on, and if I look back at where I began with them and where I am now in terms of, you know, my skill with the camera, but also in post-editing, I've learned a lot, and some things that I thought were really good in the past aren't, but there are also some that are, like, you know, that I didn't recognize at the time. I'm terrible as a self-critic, particularly with my photography, because I love it so, so much. And I will often find myself in the midst of making photos and just going, these are awful. Like, you know, these are properly awful. But what I've learned to do, the key for me is to give them time. So, and this actually also applies to all of my art in general, because I often find myself having made something and I'm thinking, it's okay. But I'll go back to something and realize it was a lot better than I thought at the time. But my photography, I will quite often take the photos, you know, let's say I head out today and, you know, for an hour with my camera. I won't look at those photos again for a week unless there's something I really, really, really need to see. I won't look at them. I don't even touch them. I don't even load them into my computer. I just leave them be and go back to them after time, because I find I am a lot less judgmental if I let them just be ignored for a while. The photos are the same. They don't change. You know, it's just my mindset has changed. And I learned that quite a few years ago now, is to just leave them be, let them do their thing, let them just exist and come back to it. Because I don't know, I find, especially if I'm out somewhere exploring with my camera, whether that's somewhere new or somewhere that I, you know, might go to relatively often because I enjoy the space I'm in, there's all this emotion tied up with the excitement of what the possibility of what I've created and, you know, the beauty of where I've been or whatever. And then I've found myself, you know, when I was looking at them straight away, like I would come home and, you know, load them into my computer, and the disappointment was profound. Like I had these expectations emotionally that weren't realistic. But then, you know, if I walk away from them and come back to them, I can look at them with fresh eyes. So maybe that's what you need to do.
That's what I usually do. I draw and then I drop for several months and then I come back to it and I'm like, that wasn't so bad. I should draw one more.
We need to be gentle with ourselves. I think that's the key.
Yeah, but what about the situation? Like you said, that sometimes you think something you created is great, and then after some time you look back and you think that, no, that actually wasn't good. How does it make you feel?
It makes me feel annoyed at myself because I think, I could have done that better. But that's my initial response. And then I go, what is it that should have been different? What do you think you could have tried that would have made it better? Or maybe not better. Maybe it just wasn't going to be any good to begin with. But I think if you can go, why does this not please me? Why does this not work? Then you are applying another layer of like distance, so you're not quite as emotional about it, and you're sort of going, so technically it's fine, but it doesn't have, I don't know, it doesn't convey an emotion. It's just it's a drawing of a building or something. I don't know why that come to me. You can kind of go, why does it not work? Maybe because if I tried this style, which I've done before, and I know I like that style, whereas this was a style I tried something new and it turns out I didn't really like that style. So I was, I thought it was great because it looked like someone else's, but now a few months on I realize it's not. And I think it's okay to feel these things because we're learning, we're like, whether they're good or bad, I think we're always learning, right?
Hopefully. I mean, if you repeat the same thing, then you probably don't.
Only if it's a good thing. If we're repeating a good thing, then that's okay.
Yeah. If it brings you joy, why not?
So I'm curious to know, when you are creating, what sort of mediums do you find yourself preferring to use? Like, is it paint? Is it digital? Do you stay away from digital because your work is so heavily involving tech and digital and things, or like what would you like to work with?
I actually tried both. As a child I started with traditional materials, so I'm kind of comfortable with paper and canvas more than with digital. I never actually gotten comfortable with digital drawing. I don't have an iPad, so I only use my computer with the tablet. It's a bit challenging. And as any medium, you need to learn how to use it. And until you do that, it's a struggle because you're doing something new, unfamiliar, you don't know how it works. It's actually kind of fun when you find a comfortable way for yourself to draw what you want. But I think I'm not going to do much digital from now on. I got disappointed in digital drawing when I saw what computers can generate these days. I thought, why do I want to do that? I'd rather have fun with the real world and paper and paint and unpredictability rather than digital art, if you know what I mean.
Are you using like acrylic paints or oil paints or watercolors? Like what are you using?
I have acrylic paints, I have watercolors, I have markers, pencils, pastel pencils. I have many things. I haven't figured out which one is my favorite, but I think it's probably watercolors right now. It's the most unpredictable material out of them all. It's also the most difficult.
I think I like watercolor for that, but also it can be quite challenging because it's very easy to feel like you've gotten watercolor wrong. Like if you don't get the result you were hoping for and the result you got also wasn't kind of right, it's very easy to just go, oh, this is terrible.
It's very easy to make it terrible, like actually terrible. It's
absolutely
a lot easier
to
paint with acrylics. It's like, I like acrylics because they actually relax you.
Do you do multimedia? And by that, like, are you strictly only, say, working in watercolor for a piece, or will you play around with different mediums within the one piece?
Yeah, don't discriminate. Whatever feels right.
Yeah.
Goes.
Yeah. I'm the same. Do you have brands you like to work with or anything like that? Anything that you've found has just been your favorite?
I don't think I've gotten that far. Like, I still don't understand what's the difference between different brands of watercolor paper, and that's the most important part in watercolors.
Yes.
So I'm just using whatever I have.
Yeah. That's
it actually was,
you've got to be happy with what you're using, whether it's expensive or not, I think is irrelevant. You've just got to enjoy it. Like, it's got to be, I don't know. I agree, good quality paper is important, but like, you still don't have to spend a small fortune to get that.
Yeah. Over the years, it was actually very difficult to buy any art supplies. I wasn't allowing myself to spend money on it because the main idea was, I'm not going to use them anyway, so why bother?
Yeah.
It's just a waste of money. Or then I would buy the cheapest from like $1 store, kind of store, and try to use that. Of course, often when you use the cheapest materials, the experience is not the best it could be.
Yep.
And then, okay, but it was very cheap, so I can just throw it away. But now I'm trying to use better materials, and I'm actually allowing myself to buy more brushes and more paints since, well, I worked so hard and then now get paid and I can afford something a little bit more expensive. I don't feel as guilty anymore.
No, I think you deserve it. Like, you know, why else are we working if it's not to occasionally treat ourselves on these sorts of things, you know? And you're right, there's
exactly
nothing worse than having a cheap art supply that is awful to work with because it just makes the whole process so much harder when it doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, like especially if we're learning how to use something, you know, a new medium or a new technique, if you find yourself having to, like I sort of say, fight against the material you're using, it just makes the whole thing just too difficult.
Yes, and then you don't know if it was the material or if it was you.
Yeah.
But I tend to blame myself for any mistakes. So if the drawing looks horrible, that was my fault. It wasn't the materials. Even though in reality, it can be the material's fault as well.
Absolutely, it can be. Absolutely, it can be. And often it is. You definitely need to go easier on yourself.
Yes.
So.
Oh, but then I asked my friends and my boyfriend to give me as present any art supplies.
Yes.
So whatever the occasion, if they want.
Yes.
But
good idea.
I have a problem with that.
What's
problem.
That?
Maybe you can help me. I get art supplies. Let's say some markers. I got Posca markers from my friend. And I don't like using it. And I feel so guilty. And I don't know what to do with them. It's like, I tried this, I tried that. It's not my style, maybe. It's, I don't know. I don't know how to use it. I don't enjoy it. And they're just sitting there. And maybe it was pretty expensive. And now I feel that I need to figure out how to do it, how to use it. I need to figure out what art to create with this particular supply so that it's not wasted and that then I can show to my friend that, okay, I made this with these supplies that you gifted me. Like, isn't it wonderful? But if she asks, what did she draw? And it's like, I didn't, because I didn't like the supplies, it didn't work for me. That's bad. That sounds really bad.
No. So I'm going to suggest a couple of things. The first one is decide when you're asking for art supplies as a gift, decide if you want to put at the end of that request, this is a new medium, I haven't tried it, so I might not like it. So then what you're doing is you're allowing that still to be purchased for you with the qualifier that it might not work for you. Now, that may only work with certain people, because some people who don't do anything artistic at all might be like inclined to go, well, gee, that's not really great. Like, why would she get me to buy something that she doesn't even know if she'd like? But if you're asking that of someone who is artistic, or at least values you as a person and understands that what you're trying to do is grow and improve your creativity, they will be less likely to be disappointed, let's say, if that medium doesn't work for you. Now then, the other thing you can do is, whether you add that to the request or not is totally up to you, but the other thing you can do is you can take, in this case, the Posca markers, because you said you're not quite sure about them. Well, you can do a couple of things. You can go, okay, these are not for me at all. Can I ask the person that gave them to me, one, would they like them for themselves? If they're artistic, they might say, sure, why not? They might say, look, I'm not interested in them. And so then you can ask if you can gift them to somebody else, whether that's a person you know or whether you put something online somewhere in some kind of forum and say, hey, I've got this set of markers. They're not for me. Would somebody like them? Because then at least they're not sitting in your drawer or wherever, taking up space and making you feel guilty because you're not using them. You're giving them to somebody else who actually wants them. And then the other thing you can do is you can go, okay, what is it about these markers I'm not sure of? Do I want to learn how to use them in a way that suits me? I felt the same. I love Posca markers now. When I first tried them, I was excited by their possibility, but I didn't quite know how to use them and use them in a way that suited me. So I was a little bit overwhelmed. I think if I remember correctly, I bought like a set of eight, it might have been, like, you know, just standard colors kind of thing. And I think to begin with, I was a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit disappointed, like, why can't I create this thing that I've seen people make online? Well, that's because I'd only just literally bought them and just tried them. So, you know, you need a lot more practice than that. But their portability and the range of colors and how easy they are to fit into my life, I guess, was what made me want to learn and use them more. So that's why I stuck with them and why they are now incorporated into my practice. One thing I've done, and I would highly recommend you try it, but also anyone, is I got an old book and repurposed that into an art journal. So what it means is, because it cost me nothing, because it was an old book that somebody didn't want anymore, I can use this book in any way I want and I care less about it, which is probably silly because I actually really love the book. Like, it's full of so many great things that I've made. But because I didn't go out and buy, you know, spend $50 or whatever on a, you know, a proper art sketchbook, it hasn't cost me anything. So I'm going in there with no expectations. I don't expect, I know the paper is terrible. It's not good paper for art, but I make it work because I want to make it work. And I often find myself going to that as the first place to learn something new. For example, I've been running around in my brain some kind of artwork based on daffodils. I don't know what I'm doing with it, but I thought, well, at the very least, I'll just start drawing daffodils because it's, you know, kind of what I need to know how to do. So I just grabbed this book because it doesn't matter. I don't care about it. I think that could be really good for you. It's quite freeing because it doesn't owe you anything financially. It's just an old book that you've decided to turn into an art journal. And that could be a thing to do too.
These are very interesting thoughts and ideas. I actually think I'm going to ask the friend who gave me these markers if she wants them back, because she actually got them because she wanted something like this for herself. Mm-hmm. And I know for a fact.
Yeah. Well, then you won't feel guilty and they're not taking up space. You know, we'd rather have our space filled with things we're going to use as opposed to things we don't use. But the good thing is you've learned that these aren't for you, and that's quite okay. Like, you know, not every medium is going to work for us, and you've learned that, and terrific, great. It actually didn't cost you anything because they were gifted to you, and, you know, you can give them back to her and find something else.
Yeah, I think that should be fine. Actually, one of the main reasons why I don't like them, and I also don't like mediums like pastel, for example, is because they make this screeching noise. Just makes me very nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't like it. But
unless you try, you never know.
Yeah. And that's why I've done the same thing as you. I often will say, if someone asks, you know, what do I want as a present, I'll go, well, this art supply, you know, whatever it might be, because they're buying something that they know you want or at least want to try. And I don't know, if you're like me, you can be a little bit cheeky sometimes and ask for a slightly more expensive version of something that you might not be quite as easy to spend on yourself, but they're buying you a gift, so why not?
It depends who's asking, yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Yes.
Well, Anna, this has been a really good conversation. I'm super inspired, which is what I love about this, is I find myself so inspired after these conversations. I think we can call it a wrap. I think this has been a great chat. We've sort of talked about lots of different things. But before we do, where can people find you on Instagram and online?
It's Alchemist Anna. And, well, yes, that's only on Instagram.
Yep.
So far.
Well, thank you.
Oh, no, wait. I made a Twitter page.
Oh, excellent.
I'm also on Twitter now.
What's your handle?
It's the same.
The same. Good. That's. I like that. It makes life so much easier. Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for inviting me. It was very fun.
There's lots to think about, lots to talk about, lots to mull over, but this has been a great chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you.